Hello, this is Julie Streetlemeyer. Welcome to episode number 2 of the Gadgeteer Podcast. Today I'm going to read a few emails that were sent in with feedback about our very first episode, and I'm also going to talk about the Hewlett-Packard HP 6945 Mobile Messenger. Try saying that 3 times fast. This is a Windows Mobile 5 phone that I've been using for the last 2 weeks, and I'm going to share some of my experiences so far. Rob Tillotson is also going to talk to us about gadgets for riders. So cram those earbuds in, sit back, and enjoy the show. Before we get started, I'd like to thank everybody that emailed, instant messaged, or posted in the forums expressing encouragement for me to continue with these podcasts. I really appreciate it. So now let's get on with the emails. Will Buchanan writes, "Hi, Julie. You had asked for feedback on your podcast, so here goes. I really like the content. I hadn't heard yet about people switching from PDAs back to paper, so I was interested to learn about that. I think I'd probably be similar to you. I could get psyched about doing it for a while, but I don't think I could stick with it for long before going back to digital. You said you could take it, so the biggest complaint that I had was with your speed of your speech. I don't know if that's how fast you normally talk or whether you were slowing down to make the podcast more clear, but I'm not used to listening to people talk at that speed. It wasn't a big deal. I just sped it up in Windows Media Player, but I just thought you'd like to know. The other thing was that there was a slight background hum. I suppose that was from using the built-in mic on your iMac. I hope it wasn't too hard on you. Keep up the great work, Will." I thought that was funny when I read that because he said that I talk slow. I guess I was talking slow on the first one because I was afraid I'd put in too many ands and ums and pauses, and I kind of wanted to drag it out so I wouldn't have to say that much. So I hope that I'm talking at a more normal speed for you this time, Will. And as far as the hum, you shouldn't be hearing that now because I have an actual microphone. So let me know if this one sounds better. Nancy Stanley writes, "It was fun to hear a voice to go with the website I've been reading for a while now. Thanks. As far as what kind of content to have, I think it might be interesting to devote each podcast to a 1-minute review of a series of related gadgets that you might not normally do a review on. Oh, say like the USB circus cannon, USB hamster, etc. Just a thought. As far as switching from PDA to paper, I too carry a Trio 650. Actually, it would be more truthful to say that it is welded to my side while I'm awake. Every now and then I think about returning to paper, especially when some new program I've downloaded makes it go all squirrely, like this week when I tried to get Iambics Your Call to work after I paid for it, and I have to keep resetting it. Arr. I suppose that after 8 years owning a variety of Palm devices, I'm forever committed, although the BlackBerry Pearl is looking kind of sexy. Keep up the good work." Well, Nancy, your idea of doing reviews on the podcast is a good one, and I plan to start that with today's episode where I talk about the HP 6945. So hopefully people will like this kind of content, and I'll continue to do more. The last email that I'm going to read today is from Ron May, and he says, "Hi, Julie. This is going to come across as completely elitist, but the only people I can imagine being able to permanently abandon their PDAs are non-gadgety types who don't have a long enough attention span to actually sit down with their devices and learn what they can do. For instance, I have tried numerous times to indoctrinate my wife into the cult world of Palm with a machine as simple as the M100, and she'll have nothing to do with it, even after her complaints of her own disorganization. That's frustrating for a gadget geek. Rant over. Again, sorry for the brutality. Keep netcasting." Hey, Ron, I know what you mean. I've tried to get some of my friends to use a PDA, and they just kind of look at me with a blank stare. You just have to keep trying. One day they'll finally realize how organized you are, and they'll want to pick it up, and you'll be there to help them out. So that's it for this week's mailbag segment. If you want to get your message read on the air, just send it to me at julie@the-gadgeteer.com. That's julie@the-gadgeteer.com. Now it's time for my audio review of the HP 6945 Mobile Messenger. After I finished my Trio 750 review a few weeks ago, I switched right over to this device and have been using it as both my primary phone and PDA. The 6945 is a Windows Mobile 5 for Pocket PC quad band GSM phone with everything but the kitchen sink crammed into this pocketable package. It has a 416 MHz processor with 45 MB of user available RAM and 64 MB for running applications. Some of the features that are built in include Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, a 1.3 megapixel camera, a mini SD card slot, and even a GPS receiver. I'm betting your first question is going to be, how much does this thing cost? Well, directly from HP, it will run you $599.99. That's without a contract. But it's also available from Singular for $359 with a 2-year contract. Just so you know, though, if you are going to get it from Singular, they've changed the model name to the HP iPack HW6925. Okay, so like I mentioned, I've been using this device for the past 2 weeks, and that's been typically the standard gadgeteer usage length of time before I feel like I can comment or complain about a product. So get ready for my complaints, because I have a lot when it comes to this phone. First of all, this device is big, and although it's thinner than a Trio, it's wider and kind of feels weird when you hold it up to your ear to use it as a phone. I guess it makes me feel a little self-conscious using it that way, because it doesn't look like a phone and it doesn't feel like a phone. And then there's the fact that the whole phone experience is really bad. To make a phone call, you have to first turn it on with a little power button and then press the green phone button to bring up the dial pad or the button beside it to launch the contacts application. Now, I can learn to live with the fact that it takes 3 key presses minimum to make a phone call. The first button that you had to press is the power button, and it's in the top right corner, followed by the green phone button, which is on the left side on the front. And then you can press a speed dial number. Now, the ergonomics really weren't thought out very well, because if you hold the device in your hand and you use your thumbs to press the buttons, you have to first stretch your thumb up to the top to press the little power button, and then back across to press the phone button, and then to the keyboard to press one of your speed dial buttons. So let's compare it with the Trio 750. To make a call with it, there's a minimum of 2 key presses. One to turn the device on, which is the red phone button, and then you hold down a key for one of your assigned speed dial numbers, and that's it. And since the device is smaller, you're not constantly reaching your thumb across the device to press the buttons. Now, that's a better phone experience, and that's what I'm looking for in my phone. I should also mention that during phone calls, I will notice a lot of static in the background, and so do people on the other end of my conversations. And signal strength hasn't been near as good as the 750V. I sometimes make calls here in the basement of my house, and the 750V, I wouldn't have a problem with it cutting out, but with this HP, I have noticed that. Now, as far as using the 6945 as a PDA, my experience has been okay, but I can't say it's been stellar. When I first started using it, I was really surprised at just how sluggish it felt compared to the Trio. It seemed kind of odd given the fact that the Trio 750 has a 300-something megahertz processor and the 6945 has a 416 megahertz processor. Just by seeing those two specs would make you think, you know, that the HP is going to be quite a bit faster, but it wasn't the case. After turning off all the included Today Screen plugins, things sped up considerably, but on the whole, this phone still feels a little bit slower than the Trio to me. One of the features built into the 6945 is the 1.3 megapixel camera. And like most cameras built into phones, it's not all that great. It's great for on-the-fly snapshots when you don't have your regular good camera with you. But other than that, you know, don't use it. For one thing, it's slow. It takes forever to launch. And, if you needed to capture some really quick photo, you're not going to get it. One of the features that I haven't tried is the built-in GPS. Out of the box, the only thing that can take advantage of the GPS is the phone application. You can mark your pictures with the GPS coordinates. But other than that, if you want to use like Pocket Streets, which does come with this phone, you have to have a PC to install it, and I don't have one. So I haven't had a chance to really test that feature yet. So to wrap things up, in case you haven't caught the hint, I am not too enthusiastic about the HP 6945 mobile messenger. I am ready to dump it and either get back to the Trio 750V, or actually I need to start playing around with the HTC Titan, because that's the next phone that we're going to take a look at on the Gadgeteer. Now let's switch gears and hear from Rob.
Hello, my name is Rob Tillotson. I'm the developer for the custom content management software that Julie uses to run the Gadgeteer. And I'd like to start off today by saying that this is my first podcast ever, so please bear with me. I thought today I would start my podcasting career by talking about gadgets for writers. Some of you might already know that November is National Novel Writing Month, which is sort of an exercise in creative insanity where people all over the world try to write a novel in a month. Well, first drafts anyway, since there isn't any time to go back and edit, which is sort of the point. Anyway, by the time you hear this, I'll probably be at least 5,000 words, if not farther behind, but that won't stop me from procrastinating by recording a podcast or playing with new gadgets. Unless you're a traditionalist who prefers pen and paper, the most basic writing gadget is probably a computer with a word processor. Now, Microsoft Word or OpenOffice might be obvious choices, but they're not necessarily the best choice for writing prose. They have an awful lot of features that you'll never actually use if you're just writing a short story or a novel, and it's very easy to get bogged down in formatting and picking the right font and setting the margins and all of that and trying to make things look good rather than actually writing. And recently there's been a number of applications that have come out that are trying to address this by providing a different sort of writing environment that focuses on the text itself, as well as providing other tools that are useful to writers that are maybe not found in most standard word processors. Now, a lot of these seem to be appearing on the Mac platform, which happens to be the one that I use, and I've tried a few of them recently. All of them have a few things in common, and one of them is that they provide an editing environment that is less focused on formatting. You can still put in bold and italics and things like that, but usually they use a fixed format for your paragraphs. You can choose what font you want to use and so on, but it's just for editing and not necessarily for printing. And they let you organize your chapters into separate files in a tree and have them all organized in whatever way you want, and you can rearrange them and renumber them, rename them, and so on. Most of them also provide some additional tools, such as a storyboarder or a database for you to keep track of your characters or your plot points, and features like that that may be useful if you're organizing a longer document. The one I'm using for my nano novel this year is called Scrivener, and what I like most about it are its powerful organizing features. Each part of your document can have keyword tags, notes, and annotations attached, and you can import external files, and it will view images, PDFs, and archive web pages directly in the program without opening any external applications. It also has a very nice full-screen writing mode, and a flexible export that will create HTML, RTF, or plain text from your draft when the time comes to submit it or upload it. Scrivener is exclusively for the Mac and is currently in public beta with a release expected sometime early next year. If you'd like to try it, you can download it from literatureandlatte.com. Other similar applications for the Mac include Jurz Novel Writer, currently available for free from jurzsoftwarehut.com. That's J-E-R-S softwarehut.com. Copyright, which is available for $30 from bartastechnologies.com, B-A-R-T-A-S, technologies.com, and Ulysses from bluetech.com, that's blue-tec.com, for a whopping €100. If you use Windows, you can try YWriter from spacejack.com, it's free, or you can try the somewhat older Rough Draft. Its author's website seems to have disappeared, but you can probably still find it on your favorite download site. Regardless of your platform, one of the advantages of all of these programs is that they use a lot less disk space, memory, and processing power than a typical Office suite. That means they run pretty well on old computers and may be easy on your laptop's battery as well. If you're like me, you take your laptop almost everywhere, but there's still times when you don't want to cart around your whole gear bag.
For times like that, I like to write on a PDA with a folding keyboard. In fact, I keep the Palm Universal Wireless keyboard in the glove box of my car for just those occasions. I like the Palm keyboard because it has a full 5 rows of keys instead of 4 like some other folding keyboards, meaning you have actual number keys rather than having to use a shift on the top row of the letters, and yet it's still big enough that you can type on it comfortably. It uses infrared, not Bluetooth, so you'll have to have a PDA with infrared. And the infrared emitter is on a rotating stalk, so you can position it either above or to the side of the PDA, depending on how you use it. So you can lay your PDA sideways in landscape mode or stand it up straight in portrait. Even though it's a Palm product, it works well with Windows Mobile once you download the drivers. Now, if you're going to use it with Windows Mobile, I'd recommend adding a null keyboard utility, such as the one from PHM Power Toys at www.phm.lu. What this does is it disables the system input panel, so it doesn't pop up when you're using an external keyboard, since obviously you don't need it. I use the Palm Universal keyboard to write several short stories and gadgeteer reviews using Documents to Go on my Palm TX, and I found it a very comfortable way to work. But recently I decided to switch from the Palm platform and try Windows Mobile on a new HTC Titan. HTC is the manufacturer of almost all of the Windows smartphones out there that are sold under various carrier labels, and this year they decided to sell phones under their own name as well. The Titan is one of their flagship models. The Titan is basically a superphone running Windows Mobile 5 Pocket PC Phone Edition on a 400 MHz CPU with 64 MB of RAM, 128 MB of flash, and a microSD slot. It has Wi-Fi both B and G, Bluetooth, a 2 megapixel camera, and a keyboard that slides out from underneath the display. On the phone side, it supports all 4 world GSM bands, as well as both European and American UMTS. Singular just released its version in the United States as the 8525. The only difference between the Singular version and the international one is that the international one has a low-resolution camera on the front that's used for video calls, which aren't supported on American networks. If you happen to live in one of the 124 cities that Singular has 3G coverage in, you could theoretically see download speeds up to 1.8 megabits. Julie has one too, so look for our tag team review of it on the website soon. Well, that's all from me on this episode of the Gadgeteer Podcast. See you next time.
Thanks, Rob. Hey, that wraps up things for this episode of the Gadgeteer Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know by sending me an email with your thoughts and suggestions. Until next time, take care.